Welcome to the second episode of Antimeme. This episode is going to be on logical fallacies, and our special guest for this episode is going to be Medicine Soup. Welcome to episode number 2 of Antimeme. This show is going to be on logical fallacies, and like I said in the beginning of the intro, our guest is going to be Medicine Soup. Now, he's a really appropriate guest for this show. We both took a course in college on critical thinking, and we both really got into it, probably more than anybody else in the class, because beforehand we were both really critical of people's reasoning, but we couldn't quite put our finger on what it was that we didn't like. And in this critical thinking class, our professor, Professor Shoney, actually, he wrote the chapter on logic in this critical thinking book. So on our class, we learned logic. We didn't really learn anything else in the book. We just learned symbolic logic, and I think it's awesome. Now I'm going to hand it over to Medicine Soup, but in this case, we're going to call him Satan, and you'll find out why.
Satan? How dare you? I command you to give me your souls. When someone is presenting a point of view, usually you can tell that something is not right. You can't quite put your finger on it. But being aware of the different types of fallacies can be extremely helpful because you can almost immediately identify what is wrong with their way of thinking, as opposed to just quietly remaining undecided on the topic. Because you couldn't think of anything better to say than, you're wrong! When you're immediately able to identify what's wrong with what they're saying, what's incorrect about their way of thinking, you can kind of throw it back in their face and get the point across a lot faster.
Yeah, well put. And also a few other things relevant to the show probably is like commercials. You know, commercials are just the biggest mind fucks I've ever seen. And when you can actually go, oh, that's a fallacy. You know, like Duracell, where they're like, yeah, our battery's great because Bon Jovi uses it. No, what the fuck? No. I want to know, like, the amp hour rating and all the technical shit. I don't give a fuck if Bon Jovi is using Duracell. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure it'd work just the same if he's using Energizer or a rechargeable battery, which would probably be even better. This is good. Known fallacies is good to spot those in commercials, advertisements. Also, it's good for, kind of jamming brainwashing when people try to brainwash you with these stupid fucking memes that don't make sense normally, but people chant it like it's a ritual. You can look at it and you just instantly notice that that's wrong. And without even getting into your brain just stops it immediately because you already know the structure of it's wrong. And also, I mean, politics. Right now, at this point, I don't even think I can claim myself liberal or conservative. It's pointless because listening to both sides, I get too pissed off, which is good. You know, you want to base things off of reason. If you're going to make a choice, you want to base it off of something important. And when all you hear is a bunch of bullshit, you know, it's good to have that tool and be able to see what is bullshit. Which you can still listen to all the politicians, though. They still probably do have some valid things to say, but it's still nice to be able to filter out the crap. So now I'm going to go on to the emails. Just one email for this time, you know. It's the second episode. Okay, this email is from Dual Parallel. It says, X-Logic X, regarding black spotting billboards. It seems you shied away from using the word vandalism, and understandably so. It seems to me that the largest perpetrators of vandalism are Clear Channel and all the other ones out there. A giant, meaningless eyesore peddling meaningless product is the epitome of vandalism. Defacement of these assaults on our senses and psyche is the epitome of justice. Tag away. Thank you, Meaningful Media. Duel.
What does tag away mean?
Well, I think it means, like, as far as graffiti goes, when gangsters want to mark up brick walls and stuff, when they spray paint the walls, it's tagging them. That's what they call it. So as far as marking up a billboard with a bunch of paintball pellets, you know, I'd be tagging it. And, again, like I said in my previous show, I don't recommend doing it, and it's bad. So don't do it. Don't do it at all. Please don't. It's a bad idea.
He means do it.
I've never done it myself. Just for the record, I thought about it, but I won't, because it's bad, and we don't do bad things.
I like making fun of the trendy people who pay Nike to advertise for Nike.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of some of those kind of things, like, well, Nike, for one, I mean, they have their T-shirts, Nike T-shirts, and it's not just the shoes, you know, it's like Nike hats. They're advertising on you, and I mentioned that in the previous show, you know, suggesting unbranding that shit, and getting rid of it so you don't have it, or just don't buy it in the first place. But, I mean, it's getting even worse and worse. I mean, I was hearing about people that are getting paid to tattoo logos on themselves. And, I mean, that's their free of life. That's, I don't know, the people probably think they're pretty cool and suave with that Nike logo on their head. But, you know, it's really not cool. And then I've been hearing, you know, there's they want to make the moon billboard. You know, they're talking about wanting to actually put a huge logo on the moon, or also have, you know, satellites up there and have advertisements big enough to read from the Earth. You can see it from space. And the only thing I have with that, well, not the only thing, it's just, it's screwed up, but also it's also kind of international too, unless they can keep it orbit in one spot. I guess that's getting into the technical stuff, which I don't know too much about, but I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but I think that's kind of wrong. I should probably think about it more and kind of discuss it more intelligently, but at this point, I feel it feels creepy. I don't know. What do you think about that?
As far as advertising on the moon goes, I don't know exactly how economically feasible that is. That would cost quite a lot of money for some advertising. To be honest, I hope they try, because as soon as they do, pretty much everybody on the planet is going to just riot. The moon is pretty much public property as of right now. The entire world owns it, not just the U.S., not just China or Japan or whatever. Everybody owns it. And if one company starts putting logos on China's property or what they view as, you know, something, a national park, really, then they're going to get pissed off.
Yeah, and for now, we still just have the plain old Clear Channel billboards. And just something to keep in mind, some of them are kind of low to the ground, and they have a ladder. Just, you know, some miscellaneous information there that you might want to know. Okay, time for the fallacies, the show topic. We're going to do a top 10 list of the fallacies, and the first three are kind of going to be in a group. We'll go through those before the commercial break, and it's all the appeal fallacies, the appealing fallacies. The first one is appeal to majority. Now, the way I would define it would be basing a conclusion on the fact that many people believe the conclusion to be true.
A good example of that is that alien abductions happen all the time. I mean, hundreds of people have reported that they've been abducted by aliens. Clearly, these alien abductions are occurring every day.
Yeah, hundreds of people can't be wrong, right? I mean, obviously. And another fallacy, where we pretty much know that the conclusion is wrong, even though there's still people that argue it. But as far as the Earth being flat, back in the day, people would argue that it was flat. I mean, and it was based on everybody believed it was flat. Nobody would argue with that until, I mean, like, you know, you got Copernicus and all those people saying, hey, wait a second here, it doesn't look right, I think it's round. And everybody's like, no, 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 you're wrong, and they just pushed them under. But turns out, we found out scientifically later, you know, using reasoning, that the Earth was round.
And 9 out of 10 dentists believe that bleeding gums toothbrush is the best one. And although 9 out of 10 dentists is pretty good, I mean, they actually, there's something to the expert witness, as far as that goes, it doesn't prove that the bleeding gums toothbrush is going to be the best.
Yeah, and the 10th dentist, his gums were bleeding really bad.
Whoa, that actually sounded pretty evil.
Okay, now the next fallacy, as far as the appeals go, is appeal to emotion. The way I define that one is basing the conclusion on the emotion of the situation. Okay, an example could be, like, say you're in a court, and the lawyer is saying, well, the defendant's innocent because, I mean, he went through a lot of hard times. I mean, his dad just died, his dog just gave birth, and all his puppies died. And we should just feel sorry for this guy. His life's turned to shit. He's innocent. And it's like, no. Did he fucking do it, or did he not do it? That's what it should be about. So you don't want to get drawn up into the whole emotional situation for it.
Logic, how could you be so heartless? This man is a father of 3 children. Don't send him to jail.
See, that's why this one's so appealing, is because when the lawyer puts it out that way, like, oh, he had a rough life, when you try to invalidate that he's trying to say that the defendant's innocent, people think that you're invalidating that his life sucked, and you're not. That's the problem. You know, us people that deal with logic deal with structure, but other people can't seem to see that. But that is why the appeal to emotion is so appealing, is because it's hard to argue, because people think you're a bastard for doing it. But it's not. We think on a level above that and take it for what it's worth. They're trying to see, did he commit a crime or not? And you go, oh, well, he did. So he's guilty based on committing a crime, not innocent based on, well, his life sucks. Well, I'm sorry, his life's going to suck a little bit more now because he's guilty. Okay, the next fallacy is going to be appeal to ignorance. And this one actually isn't quite how it sounds or how most people think it would be. Definition is believing something to be true because it hasn't been yet proven false. One example is Loch Ness Monster. You know, you have somebody trying to argue that the Loch Ness Monster exists because nobody has been able to prove it non-existent. And usually in this type of case, there is some type of bias. Somebody wants to believe in the conclusion, not based on anything, except that they just want to believe in that conclusion. So if you even argue the premises that they're basing it off of, why they want to believe in this, they'll actually just change their opinion or change their answer beyond that. You could be like, well, we searched all of the ocean and we still didn't find the Loch Ness Monster. And the person would say, well, he can become invisible when people are searching for him. You know, you just really can't win with that kind of stuff.
Another argument I've come across along these lines is people coming to me and telling me that God does not exist. There's clearly no evidence of his existence whatsoever, or some other deity or ethereal being. There's along the religion line saying that there is no proof of existence, therefore there is proof of non-existence.
Yeah, I remember reading in Lost World by Michael Crichton, one of the, I forget the dialogue or how it was relevant, but he said, absence of proof isn't proof of absence, which I thought was a really good quote. But another fallacy would be the weapons of mass destruction thing. The argument posed was that there are weapons because that Iraq cannot prove that they don't have weapons. It's pretty much fallen along the same structure as far as that goes. Okay, before we go into our last 7 fallacies, we're going to have a word from the people that would never sponsor us.
I watch this guy in his bathroom when he's getting ready for work. I don't know how old he is. 27, 28 maybe?
I want you to want me.
He's really not my type. He flosses way too much. But you can't allow a guy who knows all the words to one of the greatest songs of all time.
Okay, this is a good commercial from Coca-Killer. I should kind of give you guys a heads up of what's actually going on in the commercial, since this was aired on a TV show. At the beginning, you see a lady in her apartment complex. Looks like it's in a big city like New York. She's looking out her window, kind of stalking the guy across in the other building, looking at him, checking him out. And on her table, she has a bottle of Coca-Cola. It's kind of the only way they really even show Coca-Cola in this commercial. And she's just making comments about how she likes the guy, about the way he flosses, all that weird kind of stuff. And then at the end, she makes an argument like, how could anybody not like a guy that knows all the lyrics to such a great song? And then, woo, Coca-Cola logo. What the fuck? You have anything to say about this, Medicine Soup?
Yeah, what exactly is the message here? I mean, is Coke not trying to say, we don't have any respect for someone else's privacy either, so drink our product?
Yeah, I mean, the arguments in this commercial, if you can call them that, don't make a whole lot of sense. If we were trying to pinpoint a fallacy for this one, it'd be pretty tough. But there is a name for what this falls under. It'll be actually the last fallacy that we do cover. But before we get into that fallacy, the next one on our list is ad hominem. It's Latin for at the man. Definition would be basing the conclusion on the credibility of the person giving the conclusion.
Oh, yes. That's like when someone tells you that, of course he's wrong, of course he's full of crap, because he's a politician. There's no way he could be telling the truth, and if he was, he'd be wrong about it.
On the flip side of that, you know, Aristotle, the guy that quote-unquote invented logic, most people would perceive him as a pretty smart guy, you know? And he was, too. But he is also the one that said heavier things fall quicker than light things. And if people believe that just because Aristotle said that, then they'd be falling for the trap of ad hominem. That is a fallacy. To believe that it's true because Aristotle said so is a mistake. I mean, if Einstein said something, I'm not going to believe it just because Einstein said it. I want to know why he said it, you know? But yeah, the heavy thing falling faster than the light thing, I don't know why they couldn't figure that out. I mean, didn't they have paper back then? They could crumple up one piece of paper and not the other and drop them both at the same time. They have the same mass. Well, one fell faster than the other. What the fuck? But anyway, next fallacy. Next fallacy is begging the question. It's basically repeating the premise as a conclusion.
This is actually an unusual fallacy because it's typically valid. It's just not useful. It's not productive.
Yeah, with the given information, you're not really producing any new information. It's actually a circular argument. I mean, for example, you could be saying, well, he's not inside, and I justify this because, well, he's outside. It's like, well, yeah, we already knew that. It was implied by you saying he's not inside. We're not really getting any new grounds here.
Yeah, that's like on the O.J. Simpson trial. They asked some of the people, well, why do you think he's a murderer? And they said, well, because he killed his wife. Well, how do you know he killed his wife? Because he's a murderer.
Yeah, it's like with my parents, I had asked them why I can't do something. Like, why can't I be on the computer right now? And my dad would be like, well, because I said so. And actually, I kind of got in trouble for not taking that as an argument. I actually did refuse to believe that and continue to use the computer until he physically turned it off. Or another one similar to that is, because that's the way it is, and you ask, well, why is the sky blue? And the answer is, because that's the way it is? No, that's not getting me anywhere. I want to know about the chemicals. I want to know about the reactions. I want to know why it's that way. I don't want to know because that's the way it is. That's telling me the same thing.
Hey, well, you got to do what you got to do.
Next fallacy is post hoc, ergo propter hoc. Most people just call it post hoc. Translates to after this, therefore because of this. It's pretty much an argument which concludes that some event caused another event just because the first event came before the second event.
I actually had someone come up to me and tell me they got out of bed on the wrong side, and then later that day they got into a fender bender. So they were telling me they're never going to get off the bed on that side again.
And, you know, I'll kind of point out the obvious ones, like, you know, I came across a black cat and bad shit happened. Ooh, black cats are bad. Or I walked under a ladder, bad shit happened. Uh-oh, let's not walk under those ladders. Or I broke a mirror. Am I going to have 7 years of bad luck? No, you're not. That's stupid. And don't even get me started on chain letters. Ugh. You know, in fact, I'm not getting started on it. But, yeah, pretty much this fallacy post hoc, it's pretty much just a superstitious kind of thing. Something happens, like thing A happens, then thing B happens. Usually people think B happened because of A, just because A came first, but that's not necessarily so. The next two fallacies are kind of related. They're dealing with the whole if-then kind of structure. First one is denying the antecedent, which is meaning denying the if part of it. And the other one is affirming the consequent, which is justifying the then part of it. And one common premise I'll use for both of them, just something you want to remember, is if it's raining, the street gets wet. We just want to kind of accept that right now as a truth, so it's useful for these next two fallacies. So just remember, if it's raining, the street gets wet. It's always the case. Just assume that. So for denying the antecedent, we're denying the if part of it. So when we say, if it rains, the street gets wet, then the other premise is, well, it's not raining. The fallacy would be to conclude that the street's not wet. It would be a fallacy to conclude that off of that. And, I mean, a counterexample would be, well, the street is wet because I pissed on it. It's okay for it not to rain and the street to be wet because I pissed on it. Now, for affirming the consequent, it's actually justifying the then part. So we're trying to justify that it's raining. So in this case, again, if it's raining, the street gets wet, remember. And our next premise is, well, the street is wet. So a fallacy would be to assume because the street's wet, then it must be raining. And again, no, I pissed on it. You know, it's okay to say that the street's wet and it's not raining. But some people would conclude that out of that, and that's a fallacy.
Although in that case, it might be raining, you just can't really conclude that based on the fact that the street's wet.
Yeah, it's true. Kind of a general thing with all the fallacies we're in is that just because it's a fallacy doesn't mean that the conclusion is false. It just means you don't know. You can't guarantee it. And that's kind of an important thing to know. I mean, when you hear somebody say something in the structure of their conclusion is a fallacy, don't go out there and be like, oh, you're wrong because it's a fallacy. Well, they're not necessarily wrong. It's just they can't justify their conclusion correctly, and we don't know if it's right or wrong. Okay, and the next fallacy is going to be hypothesis contrary to fact. This is our ninth fallacy now. The structure of this one is to try to say, well, if this event didn't happen, then things would have been different. And the problem is, you can't say that. We'll give you a few examples of that.
One of the arguments I hear a lot is people will come to me and tell me that the arguing against imposing gun laws, gun control laws, they say if we start imposing gun control laws, then eventually they'll start imposing knife laws, so you can't have a knife. And then after that, they'll impose, you can't have a pencil because it's sharp. You could poke someone in the eye. And eventually, you just won't be able to carry anything. And that's pretty much total BS, because you can't see that far into the future. You can't predict that that's going to be concluded based on one thing that you do right now.
Yeah, it's a really good example. And I mean, even if they did ban everything, what are they going to do next? Ban people from weightlifting? You know, it is, how far are you going to go with that one? But another fallacy be like, if Hitler wasn't alive, you know, then we wouldn't have a Holocaust. Well, I'd argue that it may not be exactly the same, but it still would be possible to have that situation even in Germany, even in during that same time without Hitler. I mean, Hitler wasn't the only crazy fuck back then, you know? So I would kind of refute that argument as well. But another example that hits really close to home, this is back when I was in high school. My current affairs teacher is telling us about this shooting that happened at a movie or after the movie. He's saying that these kids watched some kind of violent movie and then afterwards they shot up a bunch of other kids. And my teacher said, well, if they didn't see that movie, then they wouldn't have did the shooting. And I argued that. And it was misunderstood the way I argued it, too. I wasn't saying that the movie wasn't a trigger. And I wasn't even refuting that if they didn't see the movie, they wouldn't have shot him. It's still a fallacy in the same general nature. And the way I refuted it then was I said, well, no, it was the parents' fault. Because if they didn't fuck 18 years ago, then the shooting wouldn't have happened. So it's their fault. It's the same thing to put it that way, too. And it kind of got him to shut up for a little while, but he kept on going on. And unfortunately, I didn't learn logic back then. I didn't know the structure, so I couldn't just call him on his shit back then. And that's why one of the reasons I love taking the logic course, because now I can actually define these things now. And that's part of why we're doing this show, just to hopefully help everybody else out and being able to do the same thing. Okay, the next fallacy is the non sequitur. It's our last fallacy. This is one that we can't really categorize under any other fallacy. It's just one that doesn't make any sense. It hardly has any structure. It's just like, what the hell? And one example would be our commercial for the show, our anti-commercial from Coca-Cola. It just didn't make any sense. The conclusion of why you should drink Coke, it was not justified by the commercial at all.
It sounds like they're pretty much saying, there's a guy in a shower. Drink Coke.
Yeah, that's pretty much all of our fallacies. Just hopefully keep these fallacies in mind when the next time you see a commercial on TV, or you're listening to a politician, or even the next time you're in court. Hopefully you're not, but, you know, our kind of crowd ends up there.
I would hope that would be on the jury side and not pleading your case. Just keep in mind that we're not experts on everything or on all truth. We're still learning here, too. But if you think we are trying to convince you that Iraq has WMDs or the Loch Ness Monster isn't real, you kind of missed the point of the entire show. We're really talking about how to analyze truth, not the truth of what we were talking about here. Another thing is, I'm not associated with Satan in any way, despite what my voice sounds like.
Okay. Now on with the shouts. I just got a couple. I'm going to give a shout-out to Professor Ashoni, the guy that taught our logic class. Well, it's critical thinking, but logic class. And Zapperlink. You know, he gave me some good feedback on the show, so shouts to him. Hey, Medicine Soup, do you have any shouts? Okay. Well, until next time, let's keep asking questions, especially if it's from the media. I like food, do they good? I like food, do they good? Do they burn the drinking fight? Do they lay the rubber side? Do they good what type of soup? Come away or all they do? I like food, do they good? I like food, do they good? Just as I'm back and eating. I like food, do they good? I like food, do they good?